So what do you got cooking this weekend, huh?
Put your head between your legs in the brace position and get ready for another week of bats hitting balls. Balls through nets and off rackets, with coaches blowing up and referees entering the witness protection program. Sit back, relax, and enjoy what Triple M modestly calls the Weekend Legends.
Good morning. My name is Chris Gale. Thanks for joining us. It might be that Indonesian volcano we just heard about on the news, Andrew Rose, but the Sydney football world has been knocked off its axis. The Newcastle Knights are in the top four.
Unbelievable. They take down the Roosters.
Last night at a sold-out McDonald Jones Stadium, the Knights 38 defeated the Roosters 12. Meanwhile, at a not sold-out Lotto Land, Manly Warringah 18 went down to the Gold Coast Titans 36.
Aww.
Now, Andrew Rose, can I begin? How good is Indigenous Round?
I love Indigenous Round, Chris Gale, and I was out at the Old Girl last night at the SCG watching the Swans take on Collingwood in a very close affair, and they had a great Indigenous ceremony at the beginning, and I'm off to Bank West Stadium tonight to watch the Tars play. It's very exciting. It's a whole weekend of sport.
You're so prolific.
Aren't I? Yeah.
Coming up this hour, we talk to the victorious and retiring Sydney FC captain Alex Bross.
Amazing.
Huge win last week against the Glory, and talk about the future of the A-League, which is the subject of much discussion at the moment.
Yes.
It's Vivid time, and we want to ask, how would you give Vivid a rugby league flavour, Rose?
Oh, can you imagine rugby league Vivid? I can't wait to do that.
I think it's pretty simple. You just put lights on it. Coming up next, we go through all the round 11 action in the NRL so far, including the search for the Holy Grail, some decent highlights from the Eels and Panthers. Weekend Legends, Triple M.
Put your feet up on the dash, recline the seat, and let these guys take the wheel, metaphorically.
Obviously.
Triple M's Weekend Legends.
You are on the Weekend Legends, Sydney's 104.9 Triple M with Chris and Rose. We're footy fans talking a bit of footy, Rose.
Yeah.
In specifics, we're talking Round 11 NRL Indigenous Round.
Oh, yeah. Very exciting.
Let's start with last night at McDonald Jones Stadium. 25,929 peeps there to see their Newcastle Knights 38 thump the Sydney Roosters 12.
Just everything about that is surreal to me. The crowd was awesome. They were so up for footy. It was an amazing vibe out there. And for the Knights to down the six in a row Roosters was a huge deal.
It's their first win against the Chooks in 5 years.
Really?
And as we look at the live ladder right now, they are in the top four.
I can't believe it. This is crazier than the year Titans were first place for like 2 weeks. Remember that?
That was a reverse universe.
Yeah, it was weird.
Wasn't even a parallel universe.
It's bizarro.
Now, look, I'm not describing the Roosters as spineless, but their spine was depleted. So obviously Jake Friend's out at the moment.
Yep.
Cooper Cronk was rested.
Mm-hmm.
There's some theories behind that.
Yep.
And then Luke Keary got hit with a Triple H, which is a Heimel Hunt hit. A massive tackle.
Oh.
Did you see his head slam on the turf?
Yeah, really, really badly when he hit the ground. Now, you could tell from the moment he started moving again that he was not going to play again.
And he wasn't just out of the game. Possibly out of Origin 1.
Wow, that's a big hit.
That's the word. Didn't all go one way, though. Newcastle lost Danny Levi in the first 20 minutes to the dreaded syndesmosis.
Yeah.
And that kid has turned the team around, and he's running from dummy half in the last month. So, you know, Newcastle didn't have it all their way.
Yeah, they'll definitely feel his absence because he's so explosive for them. Like you said, out of dummy half, he speeds up everything the Knights do.
Speaking of feeling, did you see the Jarrell Warrior Hargraves hit on Kalen Ponga?
To see it, I heard it from the other room. It was ridiculous.
That's one way to keep Ponga quiet. Mitchell Pearce, his fifth man of the match in a row.
He is on an absolute tear this year.
Certainly for Origin, I would have thought.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, back at Lotto Land, 7,465 people.
Not as hot.
Which is a small fraction of the Newcastle crowd. Saw Manly go down 18-36 to the Gold Coast. The Gold Coast lost Jairo before the game. But coach Garth Brennan, who's under review by Mal Meninga, could there be anything more unsettling than Mal Meninga reviewing your job?
You wouldn't get any sleep, would you?
Well, he had a coaching masterstroke yesterday. He brought Tyrone Peachey and Bryce Cartwright off the bench, and they were both stellar.
I thought it was a really masterful move, and it improved them, for sure.
Dale Copley got his first ever hat trick, and I got a lot of time for Dale Copley. He's had his lumps over the years, and it was nice to see the kid being successful.
Yeah.
The last try he scored was off a pass, which was a quadruple cutout by Ash Taylor.
And the hands to catch that ball full speed, it was very, very impressive.
Turns out all they had to do to fix Ash Taylor was to tell him that he should be dropped and he was overpaid. Hello, Gordy Tallis,
so
Andrew
Johns. I'd like to say, Ash Taylor, you should be dropped and you're overpaid. There you go. That's 4 weeks of Ash Taylor playing well.
Unbelievable. And there was a little bit of unsavoury verbal going on between the likes of Joel Thompson from Manly, Brian Kelly, and Keegan Hipgrave from the Gold Coast Titans. I don't know if you know Hipgrave and his work. He is the epitome of a loose cannon. I've just watched that kid go and go.
What did they say? Your mother wears Ugg boots or something?
And my new favourite name, rugby league player playing for Manly, Cade Cust.
Cade Cust. Oh, nice.
Now, we're going to go look in detail at the Panthers' win over Parramatta after the break because we want to really peer into the mind of Ivan Cleary, who's had a couple of very interesting press conferences.
What is happening over there? We need to get into this.
But the Panthers did get up 16-10 over Parramatta at Bankwest Stadium in front of 16-odd thousand people, which was outstanding for a Thursday night. You're on the Weekend Legends, Triple M.
It's the radio equivalent of chowing down on a bacon and egg roll at your kids' under six soccer. Ah. Triple M's Weekend Legends.
Oh, yeah, Weekend Legends. That's the cure there with Friday I'm in Love. Playing the Sydney Opera House tonight for Vivid, Chris Gale.
Vivid is off and running, Rose. It's fantastic.
Oh, very exciting.
Now, as footy fans, we love a good presser. We love to hear a coach put under the microscope so we can peer deeply into his or her mind and see what's going on.
I usually get a little bit closer to the television when a coach is being pressed by the media. I just get right up into my screen so I can feel their fear.
The pop psychologist having a field day with Ivan Cleary this week. Now, he had some good news. His Panthers finally got up after six losses in a row, 16-10 over Parramatta.
That's good.
The highlights reel was pretty short on that game. 28 errors, 16 penalties.
Wow.
There was one highlight. Mitchell Moses taking a penalty attempt fell over, but still converted straight out of the Cameron Smith handbook.
And the someone almost batted it out of the way. I've never seen someone like goalkeeper defend a kick before. It was great.
They talk about your toe poke kickers. You're round the corners. Now you've got the slip over.
The slip over. The fall kick.
Now, Ivan opened up a little bit in his press conference after the game, but the previous day he gave a very unusual press conference where he didn't say much when he was saying something.
Yeah, I guess deeper issues, so obviously. I think the last 3 weeks have pretty much shown that our on the field that there's some things deeper down that we've got to find out, and worked out quite a few things probably in the last month.
Ooh, deeper issues. What you've is this, got, Days of Our Lives?
I was going to say, you've got deeper issues, haven't you, Rose? We haven't got time for that. But he wouldn't really elaborate. He said he wasn't going to talk out of school. He had a plan, but he wasn't going to share it. He was asked about Regan Campbell-Gillard and Mansour coming back. He goes, I'm not going to talk about that. What's the deal with Dallin with Tenny Zalesniak? And he goes, yeah, what is the deal?
What's the deal with Ovaltine?
Talked a bit about Nathan and Origin, but he really wasn't revealing anything. And people were pretty frustrated, saying fans are entitled to hear from their coach about what the problems are and how they're going to fix it.
I agree, 100%.
Well, a win chases everything because the next day he opened up very, very expansively and went to some pretty interesting areas in his post-match press conference. Okay. He actually said that Penrith went off a cliff as a result of that early season sex tape scandal.
Really? So as in that's affected them more than they say they would have let on before?
Yeah, and I guess he's probably positioning this after some success rather than trying to use it as an immediate excuse. But right. He said it took an enormous toll on the club and the players. And
sure.
The administration, and the only way is to rebuild through teamwork and leadership. Well, that's the start of a plan, I guess.
Yeah, I guess. It's so weird that they get one win and all of a sudden he's just an open book.
There's a lot of interesting discussion about it, what must be like in the one house to have father, son, player, coach, and we're only talking about two people here.
Yeah, I know. That's what's weird about it, right? Like, how do you be a dad when you're a coach at the same time? It's tough, right?
But I like the quest for deeper issues. And beyond that scandal, you know, their little dabbling in the adult entertainment world, I think James Hooper on NRL 360 might have touched onto something.
If you look at their numbers, they're last in line breaks conceded, missed tackles, points scored, completion rate, handling errors and run meters. So essentially, they're 16th everywhere.
That makes more sense.
There's enough deeper issues for Penrith to be going on with. I'm not sure Thursday's done too much to calm the fans down, but let's face it, a win's a win.
Like copping a weekend to the Plums. Triple M's Weekend Legends.
Weekend Legends, 104.9 Triple M with Chris and Rose. Now, we're fans of rugby league, Rose, and there's nothing better to actually get to talk to people who play the game.
Oh, I love talking to people that actually know what they're talking about.
This man has played more than 250 NRL games, 21 tests for the Kiwis. Let not forget one game for the New Zealand Maori. Rose, this man won a Roosters Grand Final in 2013 with a broken jaw.
Amazing.
We're talking to Newcastle Knight Sean Kenny-Dow. Now, Sean, five wins in a row, a sold-out stadium. You're in the top four. To paraphrase the Australian Prime Minister, ScoMo, how good is rugby league?
Mate, how good is rugby league? It's awesome. All right, we're flying high after last night and now wake up a happy man today, that's for sure.
Sean, you've got to be loving the Knights fan loyalty. That crowd last night was incredible. From my couch, it was electric to watch it. How good is it for you to be able to give that faithful Knights following the wins they want?
Oh, it's unbelievable. You know, I get goosebumps thinking about it just to stand there in front of all the fans and give them that game. You know, they've been so loyal over the last few years, and we've had a pretty tough time over the last few. 2 years, but to play that sort of rugby league in front of them, they deserve it, and the town deserves it. So, you know, it's what a win for everyone.
Do you have to buy a coffee in Newcastle anymore, Sean, or you're all sorted?
Yeah, I still have to buy my coffee. Though,
Well, they're not that loyal then.
Actually, there's a cafe that said we had free coffees today, actually. There might be a few there getting around today.
Nice.
Now, I want to talk about a couple of the personalities. First of all, your teammate David Clemmer is having a fantastic season, but he was sin-bin with 22 seconds to go. Do you feel let down by this?
I've never seen anyone get sent off and have a standing ovation like that. It was unbelievable.
Exactly. And now
honestly, you know, he was unreal the whole game. He's the new leader of the forward pack, and yeah, he's always does his job every week, and it's so good to have him there leading the boys around in the middle.
And there's probably been no bigger turnaround than your coach, Nathan Brown. About a month ago, he was about to get fired. He's now a lock for Coach of the Year.
It's unbelievable, you know, like, it's funny how it can all turn so quickly in rugby league, and we never lost the faith, and, you know, to Brownie's credit, he, you know, dug his heels in and really got the boys going again, and, you know, he's done a great job these last 5 weeks.
And look, was his move to start with Kalyn Ponga from fullback and put him into 5'8" to lower everyone's expectations and now bring him back triumphantly to fullback, is this an evil genius at work that we're seeing?
Genius.
Yeah, like, we definitely seen the best out of Kalyn, and, you know, yeah, to his credit, he stuck to his guns, and, you know, I think we're seeing the rewards now, and Kalyn's best position is definitely at fullback at the moment for us.
We're talking to Sean Kenny-Dow here. You know, Sean, you, as Chris mentioned earlier in the interview, you won a title with the Roosters. Does that make it a little bit more sweeter when you're able to beat them at home like that?
Mate, it's unbelievable. Obviously, you know, still have a lot of good mates there, and, you know, they're the reigning premiers, so to come up against a quality team and really test me out as a team, it was really good to get the win against a good side.
And that came across on the television. We could see that when that full-time whistle blew, all your boys came together as one. It seemed to be a really big victory for you. Earlier in the game, we saw Mitchell Pearce kiss the badge, which is always a huge thing of honour. What do you reckon? You think you'll play Origin this year?
I think, mate, it'd be silly not to put him in. I think he's the best player in the comp, and, you know, I think he's playing with a lot of passion, and you know, Newcastle's really brought the best out of him as a rugby league player, and, you know, we're really feeling the love and the support from the club and the town. It's just, you know, it's doing us wonders up here, and we're really enjoying our rugby league, and it's, you know, great to get that belief as a squad.
Sean, one of the things that went against you early last night was Danny Levi going off with a syndesmosis, because he seems to have sort of reinvented you guys with his work out of dummy half. Do you have any intel on how he is after the game?
Yeah, I'm not too sure. I think he'll have scans in that today, but you know, hopefully he'll get a few back, because he's been really good around the middle of the ruck. And, you know, I thought Connor Watson coming on last night, we didn't lose too much. You know, he had a great game against, you know, a former Rooster as well, and I thought he really stepped up to the plate. So it was great for Connor to have a great game in that position, and, you know, hopefully we don't lose Danny for too long.
Sean, I imagine Newcastle's pretty quiet today. What was the vibe like there after the game last night? Did the entire town go out? What happened?
It felt like the whole town was at Bloody McDonald Jones Stadium. It was unbelievable. You know, it was just great to soak up that atmosphere out there. And I think, you know, there was a record crowd out there, and they definitely got the game they deserved.
Look, Sean, congratulations on a fantastic win. I think when the Knights are going good, can I say rugby league is going
yes,
good?
Yes, you can.
It's definitely great. It's great news, mate.
Thanks very much for your time, Sean Kenny-Dow.
You're welcome, guys. Thank you for having me.
Thanks, champion.
Coming up next, we speak to Victoria Sydney FC captain Alex Bross about the A-League triumph.
Does it get any better?
You're on The Weekend Legends, Triple M.
A show that combines our two great loves, The Weekend and Working Half-Assed. Triple M's Weekend Legends.
Gushanishan scores! And against the Premiers, against all odds, a long way from home, it is Sydney FC who are the champions of Australia for a record-equaling fourth time.
Weekend Legends, 104.9 Triple M with Chris and Rose. We are fans looking for Sydney's Team of the Year, and Rose, I think we've got our first nominee.
Absolutely, we have our first nominee. Last weekend over in Perth, Sydney FC win the A-League Championship. I could not be happier. I was so emotional with my family watching that moment. And on the line to talk to us, the captain for Sydney FC retiring after that championship win, Alex Brosk, on the line. Alex, thank you for joining us, mate. I got to ask you, at the beginning of your career, did you ever imagine a more perfect ending?
I mean, firstly, guys, thanks for having me on. But to answer your question, no, definitely not. I mean, I didn't think I'd have sort of anywhere near the career that I had. And I mean, just in terms of how long I was able to play, you know, I think that for me is the biggest achievement when I look back and think it, you know, when it all started 17, 18 years ago, the fact that I'm still, you know, up until last week was still able to, you know, be playing and be playing at a good level. For me, that's the most incredible thing. And to cap it off, like you said, with a grand final win was just unbelievable.
Now, Alex, it's Chris here. First of all, you've made Rose's family's year. They are huge FC fans.
Emotional.
Just a quick one. Can you look at that trophy and not think toilet seat?
No, that's. I mean, it is what it is, right? It's just a glorified toilet seat. I don't know. I mean,
yeah, but we've grown practical warm to it, right? You see fans now holding the toilet seats. We're proud of it now. I like that.
Well, you like them to be warm, don't you? but you know, your retirement here could be described as a fairy tale. But interestingly, you've sort of in a way spoken against that by your suggestion that you think the A-League should go to the more conventional football protocol of the premiers are first past the post and that's it for the season.
On
no
points.
Grand final, right?
Yeah. They were my comments after, and more so I think after, for us anyway, last year. You know, last year we won the competition by about 14 points, which was incredible. And then to not end up being seen as champions, I mean, that sort of still hurt me to this day. We had an incredible record-breaking year, yet we had one off night. And that's the end of our season, you know, and we're not champions. So that was more it for me. You know, I understood exactly what Perth was feeling and going through this year, considering the year that they had, you know. And in the end, look, it is football, but I think all over the world, it's first past the post, basically. And maybe it is time, the fact that we do now have a good competition, to allow that competition to be, you know, your finals and semis and all of that, but allow the league to do its own thing as well.
It's interesting you say that, because, you know, you don't want an entire season to come down to that one moment. And in beautiful irony, that the grand final came down to that moment in the shootout after full time and two extra times. We get to the shootout and I'm there with three generations of my family, my parents, my nephew, my sister, the entire deal. When that winning goal was scored, I've never seen my father dance like that in my life. He ran around the house so excited. And what we loved about watching that shootout was Redmayne, your keeper, he's just jumping all over the place. He's jumping left, he's jumping right. He's trying to put those kickers off in any way he can. And interestingly, this week, the English Premier League bring out some new rule changes for next year where they say you cannot do that anymore. You can't balk a kicker. How do you feel about that? Should Redmayne be allowed to do what he does?
Yeah, I don't see why not. I find it strange that they brought that in. I heard. I think, look, that's the whole point of it, right? I mean, walking up to take the penalty, it's a big mind game from there. So the penalty taker, he does everything he can without obviously doing anything silly. He runs up, he slows his run down, tries to catch the keeper off and does everything he can to score. So, I mean, the keeper's basically just standing there. Why can't he do something to put the player up? I think the more, the funnier things that he can do to put a player off, the better.
Like a psych out in basketball. That'd
well, exactly,
be...
exactly right.
The other interesting rule that the Premier League are bringing in, I wanted to get your thoughts on, is the VAR can now rule on celebrations. If you celebrate the wrong way, they can take a goal away from you. Is this insanity? Has the world gone mad?
Is that for real? They're bringing that in?
They're saying that the VAR can now check on celebrations. If you overdo a celebration, they can reverse a goal in Premier League next year.
Oh, well, that's going to open up a huge can of worms. I mean, the way the VAR is run at the moment, that could be a circus. I don't know. I think the less control we give the VAR for the moment, the better.
Agreed.
Amen to that. By the way, Rose's father wasn't dancing around the room. He was just imitating Redmayne, I think. And now, in terms of the future of the A-League and, you know, the discussion about it needs to be seen as a marquee sport for Foxtel to continue to fund it, does a lot of the future lie in the arrival of MacArthur FC because it's the first team that's got a cow as a mascot, do you think?
Look, I think the fact that we're expanding and making the league better, I think, is great. I think it's probably one of the only leagues in Australia and football codes in Australia that has much room to grow as we have. So the more teams, the better, but obviously done in the right way. And if it means putting the ball on your badge, then... whatever.
Whatever works.
Now, Alex, we so appreciate you talking to us. I assume you're in your dressing gown and slippers right now, but what does retirement hold for you?
Yeah, it's a bit hard to sort of even think about that at the moment. We still had, up until yesterday, a few club commitments, and we've got our end-of-season awards night coming up next weekend, so there's still a little bit to get through. But after that, it's just, yeah, really kicking the feet up, enjoying being at home, doing the things that I haven't been able to do too much with the kids, you know, taking them to school, picking them up. I mean, that's definitely driving me insane within 3 days, I reckon. But...
we'll see you back on the pitch next year, I'm sure.
Exactly right. I might announce my comeback within 2 weeks, I think.
Alex Brosk, it's been such a pleasure to talk to you after such an amazing career and such a great victory last weekend. As a lifelong Sydney FC fan, thank you. Thank you for everything you did for our team. We'll never forget you. You're one of the greats.
He is your Sydney FC victorious and retiring captain, Alex Brosk. All the best for the future, mate.
Thanks, guys. Thanks. Really appreciate that.
Thanks, buddy. Oh, I can't be more excited. We just got to talk to Brosk.
That was really fantastic.
That was amazing.
Coming up next, we look at how Vivid can improve rugby league. Oh. You're on the Weekend Legends, Triple M.
This show is definitely on the weekend. Whether these guys are legends may be debatable. Triple M's Weekend Legends.
Led Zeppelin, Immigrant Song Rose.
That is the first Led Zeppelin album I ever bought. That's the opening track off it. That's the first thing I ever heard of Led Zeppelin. Ah, I was like, what is going on?
And can you name the album?
No. Three, maybe?
Huge impact on you.
Know, something.
Now, you're on the Weekend Legends 104.9 Triple M with Chris and Rose, and Vivid is underway.
Oh, Vivid started last night. Get ready, buckle up, Sydney people. There's going to be thousands and thousands of people coming through the area, checking out all the cool lights.
I dived into the throng down at the Opera House last night.
Oh, you've already been. You're keen.
Yep, lots of interactive light installations. I suspect a bit of a use of CGI.
Oh, yeah.
Holograms are plenty.
Oh, holograms.
It was a bit arty.
Which is Vivid.
Yeah.
That's the whole point.
And I noticed a lot of the kiddies, and let me tell you, there's a lot of young kiddies out there in strollers and prams, sometimes with parents as well.
Make sure you look down while you're walking.
It felt like it needed something to keep the kiddies occupied. They looked a little bored.
Really?
Yeah. And it occurred to me, the whole thing needs a rugby league flavour. What do you think?
Oh, like an interactive rugby league section? Kids would get so fired up about that.
Essentially, this is put a light on it, I think is what you have to do.
Put a light on it. Put a light on it. Well, okay. So I like the idea of the holograms. The holograms sound interesting to me. What about something like the Will Chambers experience, right? We know that Will Chambers is the best sledger in rugby league. You've got to, like, catch a ball coming at you, but there's a hologram of Will Chambers next to you saying, everyone on your team thinks you're an idiot. Everyone on your team thinks you're an idiot.
And you need to think more broadly because rugby league always wants to encourage kids to be players, but there's lots of other roles that kids would like or aspire to.
Okay, like?
Referees.
What's the referee experience?
Well, if you're in a hologram, you can be Henry Perinara, and a hologram of Gutho can be there lecturing you about what happened back at Bankwest Stadium two weeks ago with the Alvaro high tackle, isn't it?
Pretty sure that was 3 weeks ago.
And it was 3 weeks ago. How good would it be to have a hologramic DCE going, I'm calm.
I'm fine. Or like going back to Thursday night, you can try and run down the sideline without running into a trainer. That'd be a nice experience because one of the linesmen went down over something like that.
What's another light installation you'd put the kids into for rugby league?
Well, I mean, if you're talking about roles, you'd want the kids to experience what it's like to be a coach, right? So sit them in front of some mics, a bunch of flashes in the face and questions about sex tapes. And
exactly. We were talking about Ivan Cleary's presses before and you just got random lights flashing and see how the kids handle the pressure. Yeah,
6-year-old kid trying to answer questions about the forward line. That'd be so good.
And Vivid needs to go west. I think it's too close to the harbour. It's too CBD centric.
Do you think it needs to go Bankwest?
Just go to a Bankwest game and you're in Vivid. It's as simple as that.
You.
It did occur to me while I was down there that if you could go and kick a hologramic laser-driven Steedon football as a kid and pilot it through the post being the Sydney Harbour Bridge. How good was that?
Oh, and then if you kick it, a hologram of Gus Gould appears next to you and he tells you how you're part of his new 5-year plan.
Make that 8 years. And this is finally something I think, Vivid, it is an art thing and we need to think about some of our great conceptual artists and I refer here to, of course, of Todd Carney. Something like the bubbler, like a light stream. Do a tie-up with Gatorade or Powerade or something like that and the stream is either coloured blue or maroon depending on who's in front in the Origin series.
Play a song. I'm done.
So just put a light on it. Coming up in the next hour, we're going to talk about everything that's happening on the Triple M Saturday NRL show. And we want to hear what your thoughts are on Origin selection. We're calling it Fan View, or what do we call it for short?
Oh, the F View.
Triple M Weekend Legends.
The Weekend Legends on Triple M.
Despite reports to the contrary, we're still the Weekend Legends. 104.9 Triple M with Chris and with Rose.
Now, Chris, earlier this hour, we were talking to the great Alex Brosk from Sydney FC.
How excited were you, mate? Come on.
I was kind of shaking the whole interview, especially when I got emotional at the end there and told him thank you for everything. That was really, a really great moment for me. But something we talked to Alex Brosk about was the new rules in the EPL and the VAR for celebrations. Now, Chris, I thought I'd take you through a couple more of the rules.
Because he was like stunned by that piece of news.
He's blown away by the news, and so was I when I read about it. But there's even more stuff, right? So let me just take you through some of these rulings. Firstly, there's going to be faster substitutions. We've seen this in other sports. Instead of the slow walk to halfway, you can now just exit the field at any place.
I actually like that. That's like the sin bin in the rugby league, just get off the field. Because there's a sort of ritual in soccer where they sort of jog and they sort of do a little bit of a hand slap.
And they clap to the crowd so obnoxiously, like you've done something.
Yeah,
like,
you've been subbed off. That's what you've done.
Yeah, you just passed it around a bunch.
Yeah, the coach has yanked you.
It could be interesting in football because, as we know, some of the fan bases of football are rabid. And if you had to leave and walk around the whole field next to, like, say, the Wanderers fans, you could cop it a fair bit. So it could be a little bit dangerous.
Yeah.
This should be an interesting one then. Another one, you know, in football, when you get the free kick outside the box, the defense will build the wall, right? They'll build the wall. A couple of people will stand in line.
Yeah, it's absolutely like the border on Mexico. I agree. Yes. I get it.
If you have more than three players in your defensive wall, an attacking player can now not get in the way of the wall. Because, you know, sometimes the attacking players will
squeeze in,
add themselves in, and then kind of trying to jostle a gap for the ball to go through.
Why would you then build a wall with less than three players or only three players?
Usually that happens when the ball's in a weird angle. So it's like right to the far right or the left. They're not going to hit a goal from that spot. So you have a couple dudes there just in case they're trying to go for a quick pass or something.
Gotcha.
So that's another interesting one. Penalties, right? No more. We've talked about this already with Alex Brosk, but I want to get your opinion on this, Chris, about the balking. Keepers now cannot move when a guy's coming. And Brosk said something really interesting in that interview about why are the attackers allowed to balk on their run-up and fake a kick and then kick it, but the keepers have to stay dead still. I agree with Alex Brosk. That is unfair.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm sort of so behind on this. I thought the goalkeepers had to stand still, but when I saw the shootout FCV Glory last weekend, Redmayne was all over the shop.
He was cartwheeling.
It was incredible. look, I think it should be a level playing field.
Right.
And so that they actually take the shootouts on level playing fields. As for what they should do as far as the goalkeeper, I've got no idea.
So you think that the guy running in should not be able to balk, the guy defending should not be able to balk, it should just be a straight penalty
kick?
No, I think
it should be a balkathon. Just balk away.
Just everyone's balking left, right, and centre. And then finally, the final big rule, which is another thing that seemed to shock Alex Brosk when we told him the news, is that VAR can now review celebrations. Now, in football, I can understand it, right? Because it is a game, kind of like baseball, bathed in history. You have to respect the badge. If you take your jersey off while celebrating, you'll probably get a yellow card for it or something.
That's pretty much given, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah, you get a yellow card.
They don't need the VAR for that, surely.
I mean, to check if he
actually took it off.
We can see he has six abs and a yellow card. I don't think you need it for that. But, you know, I mean, we look at other sports, right? We look at rugby league. Celebrations are a huge part of it. I go back to Jared Haynes scoring that try for the Blues in the Origin, and he ran and jumped up onto that stand right there with the Blues fans. Are you saying to me there could be a world in the future where that's a bannable offense and maybe lose the try?
I don't know. It's hard to get a handle on this. I mean, I know the NFL for a long period of time over in America put a ban on celebrations. Now they've got people hiding phones near the touchdown
zone. That didn't work at all.
That Haynes one, by the way, just scared the life out of me as a coach. Yeah. Not that I am a coach, but it would have, because it just seemed like so risky that he could have done an ankle.
Yeah, it was very risky. And that's kind of where you ask, where do you draw the line, right? Where is it a dangerous offense and where is it a bannable offense? If you go back to Robbie Fowler in the football, remember when he got down on his knees and snorted the sideline?
What was that about?
I don't get it.
I had no idea what that reference was.
Yeah, it's a reference.
Was that bad?
I think he had a cold and that was some Gaviscon or something. I don't know.
But also, I guess some of the things are, is it too long? Because, you know, we want to keep the game moving. So I think that's a fair criteria.
That is fair if they're trying to delay the game.
And of course, are you mocking the opposition? So famously in Origin was when the New South Wales Blues wrapped up a series and Brian Fletcher let off the hand grenade that was the ball and all the players toppled.
You see, this is where I struggle, because you look at Ennis when he we did the Viking clap in front of the Raiders fans. How can you ban that? That's part of what we love about the game. That stays in history and draws back to that. If you start charging people and banning, that is just going to be an absolute fan revolt.
Tread carefully, though. I think the Fletcher bomb unleashed a run of 11 out of 12 Origin Series wins for Queensland.
Well,
maybe the VAR will help.
Well, this break's been amazing. I'm going to go celebrate.
You're on film and you're on the Weekend Legends Triple M.
The Weekend Legends on Triple M.